sincerity. I believe God looks for that in people, and I've seen God manifest incredible favor and power in the simplicity of childlike faith.
This is Straight Talk.
My name is Joshua Halleck. I'm here with Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church, Pastor Mark Job, and we are in a series called Facing Your Feelings. Pastor Mark, what a powerful, powerful teaching from God's Word. This is part two on fighting your fear. And just tell us a little bit about this message.
You know, this message is about one of the most compelling stories in the New Testament, visual stories. Peter starts off with incredible faith, walking towards Jesus, doing something supernatural, walking on the water. And then his destiny becomes short-circuited by fear. And I love this statement, when your feelings of fear overcome your certainty of faith, then you will set in motion a crisis of destiny. Some people right now, Joshua, are in a crisis of destiny because fear has sabotaged your calling.
What a thought. What a thought that there's a divine calling on our life that we're missing because of this thing called fear. Are you going to guide us through this a little bit?
Yeah, so that's what we're going to do step by step. What happens when fear starts overwhelming you, and how to get back on track from the lessons that we learned from Peter walking on the water.
And friends, if you'd like to hear this message or any of the messages in the Straight Talk radio, you can go to PastorMarkJob.com and download our app for free, and you can hear all the series. You can hear find Bibles and biblical tools to help you in your spiritual growth at PastorMarkJob.com. Now let's get into part two of Fighting Fear from Matthew 14, 22 through 33.
Jesus is the disruptor of the fear environment and the creator of the faith environment. You see, I believe that the way that we think, that where our faith is at, the expectation that we have, begins to shape and affect the environment that is around us. I believe that we are the creators of the spiritual and emotional environment of our households, of our family, of our marriage, and even in broader contexts like the church. I believe that some of your families, when you walk into that family, walk in through the doors of your household, there is a wet blanket upon the household because there's bitterness, unforgiveness, criticism, complaining. And you walk into some family environments and you feel it right away, the lack of joy, the bickering, the fighting, and you can tell right away there's not a lot of joy in this place. You walk into other places and you feel like, hey, there's laughter and there's fun, and you feel the lightness there because there's a different environment. Who created that environment? The attitude and the spiritual dynamics of the people that live in that place begin to shape the environment of that place. I think that same is true of churches. You can walk into some churches that are much more beautiful than this church is, by the way. Look around this church. This is like an old factory. But I'm going to tell you something. There are so many people that have told me when I walked into that place, I felt the presence of God. I'm going to tell you what it wasn't. It wasn't the stained glass windows. It wasn't the beautiful Gothic cathedral that pointed your vision to the heavens. We have no Gothic cathedral. It wasn't the ornate statues that reminded you of the angels. None of those. You see, what shapes most the atmosphere of a place is the heart and passion of the people. And my desire has been that we would be a congregation that when people walk into this place, that they feel the energy of joy, that they feel the power of hope, that they feel the tangible presence of God that gives them faith to believe, I also can be transformed by the power of the living God. That I know that what seemed impossible when I walked into this place is possible because I see it around and in the faces of the people. I see it in the environment that's there, in the authenticity of the worship, in the energy of the Word of God, and in the message that's preached. I believe when I came in, I didn't believe I could change. After being in that place, I realized there's hope in my life. That's what I desire to see in this place, a place full of hope, a place full of life, a place full of faith. You see, Jesus is that disruptor. So Peter and the disciples, who were full of fear, suddenly when Jesus steps in and speaks, it changes from fear to faith. And I love Peter's response, by the way, because Jesus is walking on the water. Peter is in the boat with the rest of the disciples. And Peter says, Lord, is it you? Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. Now that's a strange request, isn't it? That sounds like something my teenage son would say. Hey, can I do that too? That looks cool. But here's what I love about Jesus. He doesn't say, Peter, grow up. Walk on the water. Oh, these guys. These disciples. I love that Jesus looks at Peter, and I can almost see a smirk on Jesus' face. He says, come. You want to walk on the water? Come. You know, there's something about childlike faith that's endearing to the heart of God. The Bible says that unless you become like a child, you can't enter into the kingdom of heaven. Not the naivety of a child, but the simplicity and the genuine belief of a child. The simplicity of a child that feels like when dad's holding me, I'm safe. The simplicity of a child that believes and that loves sincerely without complication and political implications. That simple, genuine sincerity. I believe God looks for that in people. And I've seen God manifest incredible favor and power in the simplicity of childlike faith. But I believe that there's some other countries that are seeing more happen in the supernatural realm and the faith realm that we see here. In part because of the simplicity of faith and desperation of their lives. We're more educated, more cynical, more skeptical, more... It's harder for us to believe just simply like some other places. But I believe that when Peter said, Jesus, if it's you, tell me, come. Jesus said, come, Peter. And Peter got out of the boat, it says... And he began to do what is impossible in the natural, only possible in the supernatural. He began to do what only Jesus had power to do. He began to walk on the water that is illogical, that is not possible due to the laws of gravity. But he was able to walk on the water, sustained supernaturally, held up by the power of faith as he looked at Jesus. Let me tell you something about faith. Faith is the most powerful force in the universe. The Bible says that with faith, mountains are moved. With faith, people are healed. With faith, the supernatural comes down and meets the natural in ways that you and I cannot logically explain. It's the power of God. Everything good. Listen, everything good that comes from God comes via faith. Hebrews tells us without faith, it's impossible to please God. But he that comes to God must believe, first of all, that he is. And secondly, that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. In other words, I believe that God exists. And I also believe that when you seek him, good comes from the hand and heart of God. That's faith. So Peter begins to walk on water supernaturally because Jesus has disrupted the environment of fear and has filled it with the environment of faith. I pray and hope that this service will be a disruptor to some of your lives. I pray all the time, Lord, as we show up, as we come to a meeting like this, God, I don't want to just do a church service. I want you to disrupt lives. I want you to challenge thinking. I want your presence to be there so that people encounter you in such a way that they cannot remain the same. Be a disruptor of our routine. Be a challenger of our thinking. Be a resurrector of our spirit, God, as we gather in places like this. Disrupt the spirit of fear and infuse it with the spirit of faith. And so suddenly, the atmosphere of faith begins to create a dynamic in which Peter begins to walk on the water. He begins to walk on the water, and as long as his focus is on Jesus, as long as he has childlike faith and his attention is focused on Jesus, he does what he could not do in the natural. You know how many times I've seen that? I've seen people that could not overcome addictions in the natural, and they come to a place like this and encounter the power of Jesus, and when they're focused on Jesus, they suddenly are able to do what they were not ever able to do before because of the power of the living God. I've seen that over and over and over and over again. The power of faith when God releases it into our life. And then what we see happen next is what happens to so many people, because faith is not sustained by one action. Faith is sustained by a continuous focus. Number three, so not only is fear fueled by faulty thinking and disrupted by the presence of Jesus and the word of Christ, but I also want you to understand the focus of faith when dealing with fear. Write this down. When your feelings of fear overcome your focus of faith, then you will immediately begin to sink. It tells us in verse 30 that Peter was walking on the water. I'm sure the disciples were like, man, amazing. Look at Pete. I wish we would have asked. Look at him. Man, he's just gliding there. That's amazing. And they're celebrating and looking at it. And I'm sure Peter's like, wow, this is amazing. Look at this. I'm walking on the water looking at Jesus, full of faith, full of confidence. He's doing something that he could never have done in the natural. But then something changes immediately. And as soon as it changes, his environment changes as well. Peter begins to sink. It tells us, but how many of you know that a lot of our Christianity, a lot of our walk, a lot of our routine, a lot of our victory has a but in it?
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Fighting Fear, and it's from Pastor Mark's brand new series called Facing Your Feelings. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Matthew in a message entitled Fighting Fear.
But when he saw the wind, yeah, you were doing well. Man, you were rocking it in Jesus. You were having victory. You were cranking. You had changed. But then you saw a distraction. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out. You see, the problem wasn't the wind. The problem was his focus on the wind and the emotion of fear that swept into his life because he focused on the problem rather than the provider. He saw the problem, and when the problem distracted him from his ultimate goal and his focus on Jesus, and the problem became greater than his focus on Jesus, and then suddenly his faith began to slip and was drained, and doubt swept in, and that which he had that had sustained him supernaturally was stripped away, and immediately he began to sink. How many people have I seen that were walking really well in God, really strong in God, and then suddenly they get distracted by a bad relationship, an unhealthy relationship, and all that victory and all that strength, they get distracted and suddenly they start sinking. Or they're doing really well in God, walking strong in God, and they have a conflict with a family member, and then they become obsessed with their unforgiveness and bitterness and revenge, and how could they do that, and how could they do this, and I can't believe them, and suddenly their faith just goes down. Or they're doing really well, and they get a bad report from the doctor, and they get so obsessed with what this could be, and how bad it could be, and what if this happens, what if that happens, and they lose their focus, they lose their joy, and immediately they begin to sink because, not because of the problem, but because they focus on the problem above focusing on the person of Christ. Let me tell you something about that. This is really important. Listen, this is really important. When your feelings of fear overcome your certainty of faith, then you will set in motion a crisis of destiny. When your feelings of fear become bigger than your certainty of faith, then you have just altered your destiny. You've just switched things up. Now, instead of going forward, you start to sink. And that's exactly what happened with Peter. He lost his focus. What is focus? Focus is that which maintains and sustains your attention for the longest period of time. When you lose focus and get sidetracked, then suddenly you have begun to mess with your destiny. And a lot of people, it happens to so many people because they become sidetracked. I remember when my children were just starting to walk. And it's this exciting time that they're like on their feet but look like little drunken babies. And you're like, whoa, that's amazing, look at them. And you know, we're celebrating the fact that they can, you know, and then they fall. And then, you know, they get up and they hold on and they're just like trying to maintain their balance. And I remember with my kids saying, come to daddy. Come on. You could take it. Take a step. You know, dads are always like that. Moms are, don't, they're going to fall. Don't. They're not ready yet. My D was always, don't push them. And I'm like, come on, you could do it. One more. You can do it. Come on. If you bump your head, you can get up and try again. Come on. Dads are like that, right? And I'll never forget when they first started to take a step, they'd go like this and take one step and they'd be looking at me. I said, come on, you can do it. They'd be looking at me. And, you know, but oftentimes someone would walk in the room and they would look and then suddenly, boom, they collapse. Because there's something about looking at the Father that's telling him they can do it and keeping them on course that moves them in progression forward. Something about the Father that can bring it out in them. But when they become distracted and look elsewhere, immediately they would fall. That's how your relationship is with God. When fear begins to be the obsessive, compulsive drive of your life, and you focus on the problem above focusing on the person of Christ who's calling you, then I can guarantee you begin to sink. Because here's the way it works. The more you focus your attention on something, the bigger it becomes in your life. What fear does is it magnifies the problem and it minimizes your true position in God. And someone needs to write that down. What our problem does, it may be small, but as you focus more and more on the problem, 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 pretty soon you look around, all you see is the problem. Your problem seems bigger than God because that's what you're focused on. Fear is like that. And fear begins to sabotage your ability to move forward. And fear begins to take control of your life. You know, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he. I've seen some people that had a call of God on their life. I've seen some people that were doing really well become distracted, and really their destiny has been sabotaged. Sometimes it's by fear that drives us to make decisions that are unhealthy, or freezes us, or paralyzes us, or distracts us. And lastly, the last thing I want you to understand about fear is this, is that I want you to understand the failure buster, because even our fear failures can turn around and become faith builders when we're willing to let it and we're willing to learn. You see, what I love about Jesus is that the Bible says that when Peter began to sink, he reached out his hand, and instead of Jesus saying to him, you're reaching out to me now? I mean, you just blew it, dude. Sink. No, that wasn't the heart of Jesus. The Bible says when Peter reached out to Jesus, that Jesus grabbed him immediately and pulled him up after he had failed. And he said, you of little faith, why did you doubt? But what I love about the fact that Jesus reached out and pulled him up and got back into the boat with him, even though Peter had walked in the water and then sank, Jesus pulled him out. And the Bible says that when the other disciples saw that Jesus had power over the wind and the experience with Peter, that they magnified and praised God. Can I tell you this? Sometimes we think that our failure is a black eye to God and a terrible testimony to everybody around. But sometimes God can use the resurrecting of your failure, the rescuing of your failure. See, it's not just the matter. It's not just a matter that you failed. It's a matter that in your failure, you turned around and reached out to God, and God, in the middle of his failure, redeemed your failure for his glory. And that becomes just as much of a testimony to the glory of God, that God can restore someone that's fallen, resurrect someone that was almost dead, rescue someone that's fallen again. It's just a greater testimony to the power and the glory, the magnificence, the mercy, the grace of God, as if though you had never fallen. That's the power of redemption. And the Bible says that when they got back into the boat, the other disciples that were in the boat worshiped Jesus and said, truly, you are the Son of God. I don't know, maybe you've blown it because of fear. Maybe you said, I'm going to be alone. I'm so afraid of being alone that you compromised your standards. Maybe you blew it because you got distracted and got full of fear in your life, and you got caught up in some situation that you never expected to be caught up in. But God is a God that redeems, restores, rescues. He's the God of second chances and third chances. He's that kind of God. And it's in his redemption that we see his power and his might and his grace and his mercy. And so as I close our service today together, I believe that God brought me today to speak this message to some that you have been driven by fear, and God is saying, you know what? It's time to stop sinking. It's time to walk on water again. It's time to float again. Now, you don't always go from sinking to walking on water. You got to float up first. Some of you, God is saying, you know, you've been sinking long enough. It's time for you to start floating a little bit. It's time for you to start walking again. The way God intended you to. The way you were created to.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series called Facing Your Feelings. And tonight was the second half of his message called Fighting Fear. Join us again for part three, Diffusing Anger. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message or the entire series, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find helpful tools that will help you in your walk with God. If you prefer to have a CD of the message, please contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's first book, Unstuck, is also available for only $10 plus shipping. If you are looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations throughout Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would really love to meet you. Well, that's it for us here at Straight Talk tonight. On behalf of Pastor Mark, Josh, and myself, thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful night, and we look forward to having you back with us tomorrow. God bless.